You know, of course, I've already said it, but the last Sunday of 2017, and from here, we can look over into next year and get a glimpse of what God has for us. You know, when thinking about this, and we're on the threshold of the new year, I thought about Moses, and God took him up on his mountaintop. And there in Deuteronomy 34, and let him supernaturally see over into the promised land, gave him a glimpse of the possibilities in the promised land, a preview of the kind of life that the Israelites would have there. And I believe God wants to show us things today that he has planned for you in your future. You know, as we make plans for this next year, it's important that we keep our eyes on what the Lord has for us instead of making our own plans. If you want a title for this, you can call it Lift Up Your Eyes. Psalms 121. Go to Psalms 121. I'm reading this from the New King James, but a little bit later I'm going to read it from another translation. 121, 1 and 2. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from which my help comes. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Now, the situation that the Israelites were in when this psalm was written, there's some debate about it. Some of the scholars believe that Israel was in captivity and that they longed to see the hills that surrounded Jerusalem because the presence of the Lord resided in the temple there in Jerusalem. You know, in the Holy of Holies, in the Ark of the Covenant is where the presence of God stayed. Others believe that this psalm refers to those that were traveling to Jerusalem, longing to see the hills and get to the presence, get to the temple where the presence of God was. Now, it doesn't matter what the situation was. What is important is the theme of this psalm. And the theme of this psalm is, our help comes from God. That's what we need to zero in on. The hills here undoubtedly refer to the hills that surround Jerusalem. Sometimes they're called mountains. Of course, the Mount of Olives, they call it there. Some people wouldn't call them mountains because they're not that high. Some people just call them hills. But I've been there and I've seen them. But, you know, what we need to realize about the Psalms is that the Psalms was Israel's prayer book and song book. That's why a lot of the Psalms have been put to music, because a lot of them were songs that was sung by the Israelite people. And so, you know, as they look at those hills, they're strong. Yet they declared that the strength come from the Lord. You know, in one of the commentaries, it says the mountain suggests strength. The psalmist asked the question, whence shall my help come? The answer is given in Psalms 2, 121:2. From him who made the mountains or the hills. In the Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary, it says, it's not the hills that gives help, but the Lord whose seat is on Zion. Now, this psalm applies to us because we are traveling on a spiritual journey. And according to God's plan for our lives. Today, we're not going to travel to Jerusalem as Israelite did, to obtain God's help. Remember, they had to go there because that's where the presence of God was. But when Christ died on the cross, that curtain was ripped from top to bottom, and the presence of God now dwells with each one of us. And Paul says, "Know you not, you are the temple." We become the temple. And so, but as we travel through life, God's presence is with us, on the inside of us. You know, the one that keeps the hills and watches over the whole earth is the one who keeps us safe as we journey through life. You know, we have to lift our eyes to the God that watches over us. Now, like I said, when I read this, starting first 1 and 2 in the New King James, now I want to read the whole Psalms 121, 1 through 8 from the New Living Translation. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel. He who watches over Israel never slumbers or sleeps. The Lord himself watches over you. The Lord stands beside you as your protective shade. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night, at night. The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life. The Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. Here in these verses, you see the word keeps and watches. Keeps here and then watches. And in the King James, they get the word preserve is used. Now, these two words from the Hebrew come from a word, if I'm pronouncing it right, shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R, which means to hedge about, guard, to protect, attend to. God is on duty all the time to watch over us. Are any of you on a job where you're on duty and you carry used to carry a beeper, now people carry the phones? Anybody like that? Several people, yeah. The staff, one of the staff members is on duty or on call all the time. One of them is on call. You see, whether day or night, doesn't matter when it is, you guys are on call. They can buzz you and you got to go. Well, let me tell you what, God is on call all the time for you, to help you, to watch over you, to care for you. You know, Israel under the old covenant had confidence in God that would keep them, watch over them. And as believers in the new covenant, we ought to have more confidence than they did, because according to the word of God, we have a better covenant that was established on better promises. So we need to realize our help comes from God. Too many times we try to take care of the situation ourselves. And when all else fails, then we go to God. Don't look at me like that. You know exactly what I'm talking about. How many of you are willing to admit that you've been there, done that? When we need to go to God first. God is a very present help in a time of trouble. You know, I think sometimes we're sort of like they were in Luke 5 there, where it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The house was full. Nobody could get in. They took a man up on the roof and let him down, and only him got healed. But the Bible said the power of the Lord was present to heal them. You know, I think sometimes we're like them. We don't realize that the power of the Lord is present right there. See, anybody there could have got healed if they would have realized and tapped in. Amen. See, this psalm assures us that we will not be alone this next year. God will be with you every step of the way. So you need to just relax and know that God will help you. Now I'm going to tell you a story. I've heard my dad tell this many, 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 many times. There was a during war, it happened during World War II, little lady living in England. And, for you that don't know, let me give you a history lesson. The Germans would fly over and bomb London, and then the U.S. got involved and we went over there and we started flying out of England over to Germany, dropping bombs. In fact, one of our church members a few years ago, he was a gunner on one of those planes. How many remember Woody? How many of you remember Woody? He used to sit right over there. And they'd drop their bombs and the air raid sirens would go off and everybody would go to the air raid shelters. Sort of like we got the sirens that go off and people go to the tornado shelters. Now, I don't know whether this was a good thing to do, because I think we need to do all we can in the natural for protection as well as depending on God. But this is what this little lady did. One night in the shelter, the people began to notice that this lady wasn't there. And they wondered maybe if she had been hit by one of the bombs or killed or something. And so several days later, somebody saw her out walking and they said, "Where have you been?" And she replied, "Well, I read my Bible where God watches over us and neither slumbers nor sleep. And I decided that there was no need for both of us to stay awake. So I put my trust in him and went to bed." I don't know whether that's the best thing to do or not. I think we need to take natural precaution as well as depending on the supernatural protection. But I think it gets the point across that we need to wholeheartedly trust God. Yeah. Now, we need to lift our eyes up and look to God to keep us from the evil one. Psalms 121:7 says, "The Lord shall preserve you from all evil, and he shall preserve your soul." Now that's the King James, New King James. The NLT says, "The Lord keeps you from all harm and watches over your life." Now that speaks to us a little better. We understand those words a little better, keeps and watches. This is a great promise of God to us. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but the Lord keeps you from harm and watches over your life. God is watching over you all the time, whether you feel like it or don't feel like it, or whether you realize it or don't realize it. God is there watching over you all the time. Now, many times we don't think about this. God is there on guard 24/7, 366. I used to say 365. I got to thinking about it. There's one year that has 366 days, so we better say 366, because if not, we're leaving one day out that the Lord's not there. No, not really. In fact, there's some more other parts in the Psalms that says that his angels are camped around us. We may be in the battle, but God is defending us. The Almighty One, the great defender, is there to keep and preserve us. I said there a while ago, God is on guard 24 hours a day. Now, when I was in the Army, we used to have to pull guard duty. And you go out there and you walk around some warehouse or something for 2 hours, and you go back and you get 4 hours of rest, and then you go back out there and walk around again another 2 hours. That's what we did. And the thing about it, I always thought to myself, we couldn't do anything if anybody come anyway. We got a weapon and we're carrying it, but we have no ammunition. Only thing I could do was go into some hand-to-hand combat using that old M1 rifle. But we were out there. We were on guard. I come back one off of my two-hour shift, and I asked the sergeant of the guard. I said, "Is anything in that warehouse anyway?" He said, "No, it's empty." We are guarding an empty warehouse. Go figure. It was just part of training. God is not guarding an empty warehouse. God is guarding where His presence resides. He is guarding you. He is taking care of you. You know, His power is still the same as it always has been. God doesn't grow tired or weary. You know, I used to get tired walking around that stupid warehouse, but with nothing in it. But I kept walking because it was my duty. And if we read the Word of God, we find out that it's God's duty to watch over His people. Excuse me. You know, sometimes we need to realize some things. And thinking about this, I got to thinking about 2 Kings 6 and Elisha and his servant. Now, Elisha's servant woke up and he went outside. That is found in 2 Kings 6, 15 through 7. I'm just going to paraphrase. I'm just going to tell the story. I'm not going to read it. And he went outside and he saw that the city was surrounded by the enemy and the soldiers and chariots and everything all around. And he was really upset and afraid, and he told Elisha about it. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, open his eyes that he may see. There's more of us than there are of them." And when Elisha's servant saw into the spirit realm, he saw that there was a host of heavenly warriors ready to defend them. You see, that's why I say we got to lift up our eyes. Amen. Not our natural eyes, our spiritual eyes. And realize that there is a host of heavenly warriors that are there to do battle for us. Amen. Come on now. Amen. See, we need to not get discouraged when the enemy seems to have gained a foothold and ground on us. This doesn't mean he's won a battle. It simply means he's simply won that situation. Now, probably some of you, most of you probably don't even watch. I don't watch boxing as much as I used to, but I used to watch boxing a lot. Anybody ever watch boxing? Anybody ever boxed? Well, you know, when you can get hit and knocked down and still get up and win the fight. You know, my cousin George, he boxed a little bit there in Dallas in the Golden Gloves, and so Uncle Dub had taught us how to box a little bit, fight. Uncle Dub was a good one, was a fighter. And so he wanted me to box with him, and so I got out there and got to boxing around with him. And he was fighting in the gloves, and I was doing pretty good with him. But finally, he tagged me pretty good, and I bounced back. And they said I come at him, and he was hitting me with everything he could, and I just kept coming and pounded him down into the ground. You see, that's what the enemy may come with everything he's got. You just keep coming with the power of God, and you're going to walk right through him. Hello? See, we can't afford to get discouraged. In Psalms 34, 17, turn back there a few psalms. You're in 121, just turn back to Psalm 34. It says, "The righteous cry out, The Lord hears them, hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles. I like that little word, A-L-L. Not some, not a few, not the big ones. All of them. Big, small, indifferent, whatever. You know, some people think, well, he just delivers us out of the triple extra large. And lets us take care of the small problem. No, he delivers out the small, the medium, the large, the extra large, the double X, the 5X, whatever it is, whatever the problem is, he's there to deliver. You know, now, verse 18, the Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Oh, we don't like that. It tells us that we're going to have trouble. If you turn that around into 2017 language or almost 18 language, it would say, many are the troubles of those that are born again, the righteous. But I got a sermon I preach about that little word, B-U-T. Because when that little word, B-U-T, is inserted, it nullifies what's on the other side of it. Am I right? Look here. Many are the afflictions, many are the troubles of the righteous on that side of the little word, B-U-T. But now look what's on the other side. The Lord delivers him out of them all. All of what? All the troubles. All the stuff that's coming against you. Come on. Anybody getting anything out of this? Put our trust in God. See, we can lift up our eyes and look and see. This gives us a little glimpse of what we can have in 2018. This is what God said we can have. Protection. So forth. Let's go on. Psalms 37:40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust him. And then Proverbs 35 says, he is a shield to those who put their trust in him. What is a shield? It protects you from whatever it is. Any of you work at a job where you have to put on a protective shield over your face? It protects you. You ever go to a welding shop and watch a welder? He puts a shield over his face. What for? To protect him. But he's still able to do his job. It's a shield, a protection for us. See, it's time to look up our eyes and to let God help us to run our race. Psalms 121:8. Now we go back to 121. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even evermore. That's New King James. The NLT says, the Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. This verse indicates that we have his help with us as we walk our spiritual journey down here. You know, we all have gifts and callings. And when you use that word, many times all that anybody thinks about is somebody that gets up here that's called. But everybody has gifts and callings. You may be just called to be an usher. You may be called to be to help with the children or youth or something else. All of you know Brother Harold Pillars. How many of you know Brother Harold? Appreciate you. He has been an usher in this church since it opened in 1985. And if you ask him, he will tell you that's what he does. He says, that's what God has me doing. I'm an usher. See, I want you to get out of your head that if gifts and callings have to just be a pulpit ministry or a platform ministry. These singers and people up here, that's what their calling is. The musicians, that's what their calling is, to help. Now you may work another job for your livelihood, but your calling with God is in the church to do different things. You're not working for your salvation, you're working for God. Okay? Now, look at this. You're not alone in this journey. God's with you. This verse says that he's there to preserve us, to watch over us, to care for us, to keep us. And if God ever protected you one time, he'll do it again. You ever had God protect you? He'll do it again. It's not just a one shot and done. You know, in athletics now, especially in college, you got a lot of these ball players in different sports, you know, football, basketball mostly. They call them one and done. They go play 1 year in college and then they go pro. Hey, this is not a one, God's not a one and done deal. It's all the time. If God took care of you once, he can do it again and will. If God provided for you in your time of need, he'll provide for you still. If God strengthened you yesterday, he'll strengthen you today, tomorrow, the next day, and the next, and the next, and the next, and the next. God is always there, ready, willing, and able to minister to you in whatever your need is. We got to look to the supernatural. They sang the song. I don't know whether they knew what I was going to preach or not, but the latter part of this talks about the supernatural. Look at the supernatural. We need a supernatural God to move in a supernatural way in our lives, and that's what they were singing about. You know, think about this for a minute. I think different than others. I don't know. Well, my wife tells me I do. You know, but think about it. The salvation you receive from the Lord, can you explain it in the natural? How can an infinite, everlasting God dwell in a finite, created person? How can he change our spiritual identity in a split second from a spent sinner to a child of God? How can the Holy Spirit make us new creations, taking out the old sinful nature and putting in a new nature of God? It can't happen in the natural. It is supernatural. Salvation is a tremendous supernatural event. Right? How many of you agree with that? Too many people don't look at the other supernatural things that are available for us as we walk with him. Supernatural healing for our bodies. Supernatural protection in the time of danger. Now, you've heard my story of about to go off of the cliff and I just hollered, Jesus, 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 and I was protected. Supernatural provision. Any of you ever had supernatural provision where God took care of you? When it looked like it was all over? Supernatural deliverance. Supernatural leading of the Spirit. You know, leading of the Spirit. Now you heard my wife give this story. She pulls out of the office, headed west on Kenosha out there, down here toward 145th or whatever the name of the street is. Aspen, yeah. I still call them by. When we first moved out here, they were all street names. That was 71st. It wasn't Kenosha, but then they changed all of them and started. And if you look at the sign, it'll say 71st and Kenosha on it. And down there it says 145th and Aspen. It used to. I don't know whether it still does or not. But anyway, she was headed toward that signal light. Now, as she's coming, approaching the light, it turns green. Okay? Now, but something says to her, the Holy Spirit, slow down. Well, that's not normal. You're approaching a light that just turned green, right? It's not normal to slow down, is it? Because you saw it just turn green, so you know that there's quite a few minutes, maybe a couple, 3 minutes before it's going to change. You got plenty of time to get through the signal light, right? So you don't slow down. If you're approaching it and you think it's about to turn, you might slow down. But it had just turned green. It says slow down. She slowed down. And just as she entered the intersection, here come a car, and she said it's doing about 100 miles an hour. I don't know how fast it's going, but it goes choom, right in front of her car. If she would have continued at her same speed, it would have hit her right in the driver's door. See, the leading of the Holy Spirit, supernaturally, you need to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. Even though you don't understand it, I'm going home from the office, and I normally go a certain way all the time. How many of you going to work and coming home? You normally got a route you take, right? We do. But you know what? For some reason, I just felt in my spirit, don't go that route. Had anything happen? I don't know. But I didn't go my normal route. I turned, went a completely different direction going home. Because, hey, how many of you can go home several different directions? Right. Now, did anything happen? No, not that I know of. But something could have happened, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm talking about the leading of the Spirit that we have for our help, our protection. I don't know how many times you heard me tell the stories, but I don't know how many times growing up with Dad, we fixing to leave, go somewhere. We even get to the car, and he said, "Nah, we can't leave yet." So we don't leave because, you know, and some of the times we would have been right in the middle of an accident because of it. I know one of Dad's preacher friends, they're all gone to glory now, but he had 3 car wrecks, and the last one almost killed him and his wife. And Dad preached for him many, many, many times. And Dad was preaching for him again, and he after service they went out to eat, and he told Dad, he said, "You know what?" He said, "If I would have listened to my spirit, I would not have had any one of those accidents. But I was in such a hurry, I said, I gotta get there, I gotta go." And so they went. They had accident. I tell Captain David Fusell, who's a part of this church, and Captain Scott Redmond, who's a part of this church that flies our aircraft, I say, "Hey, you guys, you fly. If you say we fly, we fly. If you say we don't fly, we don't fly. Don't matter what anybody else says, you in charge." See, we need to get with that way with God. If God says it, "Well, I don't know about that. Now, wait a minute. Why in the world would he say that?" Hey, you just need to listen. You just need to listen. There was one night we were over, I don't know, I think we were over in Louisville, I think we preached in Louisville, Kentucky, and And Dave, Captain Dave, he told Annette, he said, "Now, I can get you home, but you're not going to like the ride because it's going to be bumpy." She said, "We're going to spend the night. We'll go home in the morning." Now, sometimes we can get there, but it's going to be bumpy. And if we just back off and wait a bit, wait on God. Come on now. Anybody getting anything out of this today? Come on. See, we need to look and realize that our natural strength is not going to get us through the journey. We need to wait upon the Lord. Now, and you know where I'm going with this, Isaiah 40, 26 through 31. "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, never faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Now the prophet here is declaring that when we don't have to get weary or faint if we renew our strength. The enemy will lie to you and tell you you can't make it, but you can through the supernatural strength of God. Now, it talks about waiting on the Lord. Now, this waiting here does not mean to be passive and do nothing. Albert Barnes, in his notes on the Bible, says it means wait in the sense of expecting, wait for his help, that is to trust him, to put our hope, our confidence in him. So as we enter into 2018, let's put our confidence in God. Our expectation for the next year is in God. Expect to see God meet you in every area of your life. Lift up your eyes and see that God's glory is there for you, and you'll walk and enjoy the trip. As you wait upon me, my strength will be there to guide you and direct you. If I say go this way, then go that way and don't question. Because if you will go with me without question, you will rejoice and jump with gladness as you see what you missed and what could have happened if you hadn't have followed me. Lift up your eyes and see that I am there to give you the strength when you have no strength. Lift up your eyes and see that I am there for your protection and to keep you and to guide you. Lift up your eyes and see that the supernatural is always available if you will only believe. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, that ain't in here. That come from the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to try to add anything to it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today that has talked to us. I thank you for the words of the Spirit that have come to us. May each of us lift up our eyes and realize that we're not alone in this and walk our journey with you, with your power, your might, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. I trust you got something out of this today. But lift up your eyes. I don't care what comes, and see that God is there for you. Amen. Listen to what the Spirit had to say right there at the end. He was talking to some of you. I don't know who he was talking to, but he was talking to some of you. You needed to hear that. How many of you needed some of what was said right there? Yes. Amen. Amen and amen. Bow your heads with me for just a moment, please. If you're in this place today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't get involved in what I was talking about. But God wants you to. Or if you're here and you know what it is to be involved with God, but you're just not where you're supposed to be and you need to rededicate your life to God. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So would you raise your hand right now, anywhere in this building, upstairs, downstairs, doesn't make any difference. Wherever you're at, raise your hand. I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Anybody, anywhere, right now, anybody, anywhere. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, I see no hands. If there happened to be one individual in this place that you're speaking to their heart right now, I pray, Father, that that convicting power of the Holy Spirit will go with them and they can't do anything until they stop and receive you as Heavenly Father and your Son as Lord and Savior of their life. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. As I was praying, the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, there's many of you right out there, several that are watching, that needs to rededicate your life to the Lord and some that need to accept Him. This congregation is going to stand and they're going to repeat after me a prayer, and I want you to repeat it with us, and it's going to change your life forever. All right. If you're in the congregation here and you want to reach your hand toward that red light, that's the camera that's on. Heavenly, say this with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. I believe He's the Son of God. I believe He died for my salvation. And you said in your holy word that if I would confess that with my mouth and believe that in my heart, I would become a new person in Christ. I'm confessing it with my mouth and I believe it in my heart. And I thank you now that I'm a new person in Christ. Amen and amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer, you can go there on your screen. You can see it, partnerservices@rhema.org, and let us know about it, because we want to hear about it. We want to send you some information, okay? So just go right there on your computer and go there. Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them to the connection room so that they can receive that special gift that we've got for them, okay? Praise the Lord. Nobody else moving unless you have to. Staff, why don't we go? You go to the door so you can shake hands with people. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Remember the announcements. All right. Wednesday night, Hour of Power right here. All right. Praise the Lord. Everybody have a happy new year. Okay. Greet one another as you go out today. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. And don't forget to invite people to hear Rick Renner on the 14th. All right. God bless.